And open God's Word together, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 as we walk through this book. And we'll be looking at the first 9 verses together of Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." So I'm going to take my title from verse 2, the dispensation of the grace of God. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom, guide us in truth, speak to our hearts, meet with us now. We give you this service. May your will be done. Thank you for the privilege to be here and open your word together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Paul reminds us this evening, he is the apostle to the Gentiles. The apostle, as he said, born out of due season. We see in the book of Acts the other apostles focusing on the Jewish people, even the disciples prior to the death of Christ focusing on the Jewish people. But we see the book of Acts make a change halfway through, and then it's all about Paul and the Gentiles. Praise God, or we wouldn't be here tonight. And Paul was the one that made the difference. If you would keep your place here and go to Romans 11, Paul even refers to himself as that apostle. Notice Romans 11, verse 13, where he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." So he refers to himself as the apostle of the Gentiles. And as the apostle of the Gentiles, we looked at this briefly in chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was given special revelation from God that was not formally known to man, which is really amazing when you think about it. It wasn't hinted of in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets, you know, we're walking through prophecy right now in Sunday school. We will not see one prophecy about the church, about the dispensation of the grace of God. Because it was a mystery, as Paul explained. But dispensationalism is obviously scriptural because the word's even in the Bible. Praise the Lord. As he said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So what is a dispensation? What does that word mean? What means? It means a stewardship or the administration over a certain period of time. Our God is always the same and will always be the same, but His dealings with men change along the way. It all started in the garden. That was definitely a different dispensation than now. We would all agree with that. There was no sin. Man fellowshipped directly with God and walked with God in the cool of the day. And people often refer to that as the first dispensation, which is innocence. Man was innocent. Man wasn't a sinner yet. Well, after the fall, obviously things changed in a big way. Now man was spiritually dead. Now he had been banned from the garden. Now man was involved in sin, which, of course, came out in their children, one killing the other, and it went downhill from there. And people often refer to that as the time of conscience, because man pretty much just did what he believed was right. There was very little interaction with God. And that's just the way things were up until the flood. And in the flood, God judged the earth. And we know the story. He took away all mankind except for just Noah and his family. And when they got off the ark, he said, things are different now. I want you to go and replenish, multiply and replenish the earth, you and your sons and their wives. And now they were sent out with what we refer to as human government. Now they were to go out and establish new nations and try to do things the right way, but it didn't work. And so then we have what we refer to as the dispensation of promise, which would begin, as we saw in our prophecy class, Genesis chapter 12. Everything changed in Genesis chapter 12 when God picked a man named Abraham and said, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to form a nation. I'm going to form a people, and they're going to be my people. They're going to be my special people, and it's going to last forever. And I'm going to give them a land. I'm going to give them a king someday and so forth. And so that we refer to as the time of promise, where God made a promise to Abraham. But man was still without a written law. Which brings us, of course, to the dispensation of law. God changed things after their 400 years in Egypt, and he brought Moses up onto the mount, and he gave him the written word of God. Up to that point, man did not have that. Now, he did have word of mouth passed down, but man did not have the written word of God. But now he did. And that we refer to as the time of law, which, of course, lasted right up until Calvary. Man was still under that dispensation, even when Jesus and John the Baptist began preaching and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But then something changed. Go to John chapter 1, and we'll see that. And through Calvary and through the resurrection, through Pentecost, a new dispensation was ushered in. And Paul referred to it as the dispensation of the grace of God. Notice John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So even John here is telling us that there was a time ruled by the law, but then Jesus brought in something new, grace and truth. A new era, a new time, a new dispensation. Then if you would look at Acts chapter 20, the Bible tells us that even the gospel that we preach has that word grace in it. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The Bible says, but none of these things move me, neither count of my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry to which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Up to this point, the gospel had never been referred to in this way. The gospel of the grace of God. But notice who's telling us this. Paul, Acts chapter 20. The gospel of the grace of God. What is that? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose again, offers us eternal life as the gift of God. The gospel of the grace of God. It's a new dispensation. It's the dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul was the one chosen by God to deliver this to us. Notice back in our passage, Ephesians 3, where he says in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me. Notice he doesn't say us. He says me. Isn't that interesting? Made known unto me the mystery, as I afore wrote in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, you know, your person could sit back and say, well, boy, Paul was kind of big-headed. No, he was just being honest. God revealed it to him. Go to Romans chapter 2, where Paul, maybe you haven't seen this in this way before, but it's a very fascinating statement Paul makes about the gospel. Romans 2:16, he says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to what? My gospel. Wow. Not our gospel, my gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel that was revealed through the dispensation of the grace of God to the Apostle Paul. And then back in Ephesians, look at chapter 6, which we'll get there. This is one of the mysteries of the Bible, the mystery of the dispensation of the grace of God, the mystery of the church. Notice Ephesians 6:19, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And he mentions it there in verse 4 of our passage, Ephesians 3:4, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And then he goes on in our passage to explain what the mystery is. The mystery is the church, and the church age, and the church gospel. Now, there's other mysteries in the Bible. We won't take a long time and go and study them or anything, but I can tell you where they're found. If you want to write them down, it's your choice. But in Romans 11, we're told about the mystery of the blindness of Israel and how Gentiles can be grafted in to their tree. In 1 Corinthians 15, we're revealed the mystery of the rapture. In Colossians 2, the mystery of the incarnation. And the word mystery is used in all these passages. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, the mystery of the Antichrist. And then in Revelation 17, mystery Babylon. So those are some of the other mysteries in the Bible. But Paul here is telling us about one of those mysteries, which is the mystery of the dispensation of the grace of God. The mystery that's in Christ. And just to drive the point home that it was a mystery, verse 5, he says in our passage, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." So we don't have to argue about whether or not the Old Testament prophets knew about it. Paul just told us they didn't. He said it had never, prior to Paul, it had never been revealed unto the sons of men. Man did not know that such a thing would ever happen until it happened. Jesus died on the cross, rose again, Pentecost came, everything changed. Now the Holy Spirit indwelt people. Now they were sealed by the Holy Ghost under the day of redemption. Now they received eternal life as a gift. Everything changed. And a new dispensation was born. But it was a mystery until Paul. And again, he mentions in Romans 16, if you want to turn over there, that just to make it clear that nobody knew about this mystery. Of course, God did, but man did not know. Look at Romans 16, verse 25. He says, "Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel," which we looked at this verse, "and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery," look at this next phrase, "which was kept secret since the world began." Pretty clear. Kept secret since the world began. So the dispensation of the grace of God was a secret that God kept from man until he revealed it through Paul. And it happens to be the one that we live in. And the best one we could have chosen, trust me. Of all the dispensations to be born in, the church age would have been the best choice. Well, maybe the Garden of Eden would have been if we were Adam or Eve. But other than that, you might say, oh, the kingdom would be better. Not necessarily. Because a lot of people don't get saved during the kingdom. And yeah, physically the conditions are better. But that doesn't necessarily mean more people get saved. We got saved in the best dispensation, this dispensation of the grace of God that had been kept a secret, as we read here in Romans 16, and since the world began until it was revealed by Paul. And what is the basic mystery? Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That there was going to be this thing called a body, the body of Christ. Something that man had never heard of, but something that the age of this dispensation ushered in. That, as we all understand, 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." That's not water. That is the Holy Spirit. That verse has a capital S. When we are born again, the Holy Ghost baptizes us into the body of Christ, makes us part of Jesus Christ. We become flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, and that is the mystery, as He says in verse 9, the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation, that's in chapter 1, verse 9, I was reading, not first chapter 3, verse 9. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, in heaven, on earth, even in Him. Excuse me, I knew that was coming for a long time. So go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. More about this mystery. Verse 30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. How do you explain that? Pardon me. How do you sit a child down and explain that to them? That we are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bones of Jesus Christ. That we are all part of one body. That's definitely mysterious. Now God did it. Sorry. This just came out of nowhere. I was waiting for it to happen. But we can believe it's true. Just like the Trinity, because God says it's true. It's a mysterious thing that we won't fully understand, but we know that when we're born again, we're made one in Jesus Christ, one body. And so Paul tells us in verse 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. So Paul was the minister of this dispensation, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. With this dispensation comes unsearchable riches. Praise God. We could go on all night about those riches, couldn't we? I already mentioned a couple of them. Permanent indwelling of the Holy Ghost. They didn't have that in the Old Testament or in the law. And it looks like they probably won't have it in the tribulation. But we have it now. The adoption into God's family at salvation. We become sons of God. As many as received Him, and so forth. That God's written revelation was finished in our dispensation. It's finished. There won't be additional word in the tribulation or the kingdom. It's done. It's done forever. So that's unique to our dispensation. That we become priests. In other words, we can go directly to the throne of God and pray on behalf of one another. The Old Testament saints couldn't do that. They had to go to the temple. They had to go through the high priest. So as you can see, so many things changed. And we have received so many riches. And then it finishes off with us being, if we're still alive, delivered from the wrath to come through a thing called the rapture. We don't have to be involved in all that wrath that's going to pour down upon the earth in the tribulation. Of course, if we die before then, we get to go to heaven anyway. But all of that, and we could go on all night about all these riches, these unsearchable riches of Christ that we receive because we are part of Christ. And then verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things, by Jesus Christ. What's the fellowship of the mystery? It's the church. Really, that's what we're doing tonight. We're the fellowship of the ministry. Mystery. Not ministry, mystery. Because the mystery is the body of Christ. That's us. And when we assemble, that's what he's talking about. The body is fellowshipping with one another. So we are very blessed to have been born in the dispensation of the grace of God, and now we have the wonderful privilege to go share the gospel of the grace of God with a lost and dying world. And because of God's grace, people can be born again, receive eternal life, be sealed by the Holy Ghost, all because of God's grace. For by grace are ye saved. By grace. The dispensation of the grace of God. Let's pray.